Good evening and welcome to the Forum. As the All Souls Forum continues its summer hiatus, KKFI strives to bring you compelling content in its stead. Today, we bring you audio recorded on Memorial Day of 2019 outside the Kansas City Weapons Plant at 150 Highway and Botts Road. Peaceworks KC organized this annual action, which included a die-in in memory of workers who had died while employed at the Bannister Federal Complex, which housed the old weapons plant. The federal government has acknowledged over 2,000 distinct toxins found on that site. In addition to the die-in, 17 people were arrested in a collective act of civil disobedience, including two Europeans. We'll start the recording with the poet laureate of the Kansas City Peace Movement, Ron Faust.
So we can share this poem, and some of you have already heard this one more time for Lou. And that'll be ingrained in the poetry itself. And so I'll just, here goes. A warning about weather blared emergency flood watch. As the rain pitter-pattered everywhere, filler of spaces in the earth. But a different warning came on July 18, 2010. When four protesters blocked the gate of Honeywell, declaring for the first time an emergency nuke watch. Because the plant produced more than triggers for nuclear weapons. Because toxic elements harmed workers, disrupted breathing, caused cancer. 2,000 toxins in a list wrote out on a scroll by Lou Montanay. Did that just last year. Yes. Now we meet in 2019 at the new plant, the National Security Campus, knowing that persistent wars are caused by too much money, driving weapon contractors to overlook the warnings about annihilation. The 2010 Feisty Four, the lose of local fame, the global concern for a nuke-free Earth, the supporting community here today are here for the cause of peace. Aware that we live in a world broken, hard-hearted, and still dare to mix sadness and hope worthy of a Memorial Day. And that's why we're here. Worthy of a Memorial Day.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you. And now we would dearly love our speakers, Susan and Chris. Susan from Amsterdam and Chris from Dortmund, Germany, to come up and speak with us for a few minutes. And I will just say that their videographer, Ina, is hard at work. And she's going to take word about Kansas City people working for a nuke-free world. She's taken us around the world. So, thank you, Ina. And so.
Okay, thank you. So, my name is Susan, and I live in Amsterdam in the Catholic Workerhaus together with refugees and undocumented people. And being Catholic workers, we don't only give hospitality, we also want to fight against the causes of people fleeing. And one of those causes is war and weapons. So we go to protests against nukes in Germany. In Germany, we have nuclear weapons that are built. Well, there will be new weapons that will be built right here. And I've heard the weapons, these bombs, they weigh about 700 pounds, and they are more expensive than their weight in gold. And it's such a waste of money that could be used for better streets or housing or education, healthcare. So we came here a little bit selfish to try and get rid of our own nuclear weapons or and stop you from sending more.
Yes.
But when we came here, we found out from Maurice and other people that there's so much suffering caused here by building these bombs for us. So my focus is shifted a little bit to these people as well. It is really heartbreaking to see how many people have died and gotten sick. And every time we go out, Jane takes us out a lot to see, meet other people. Someone will speak up and say, wait, my mother also died of cancer, and she also worked there. Or my aunt, or my uncle. We're here, and I hope this will generate a bit more publicity for you all. I will also go back home and talk about these issues. And I hope you have a good day today.
Yeah, I'm Chris from Germany. I'm a Catholic worker too. I didn't prepare much to say about what we are going to do today. Sorry for that. I actually feel a lot of pain. I feel a lot of pain about what is going on here, what has been going on here, and what maybe will be going on here. And not only here, but in many other places in your country. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for what is going on here, and we have to stop it. That's why we are here. But my heart goes out to the people behind us too, the guards and the policemen who are doing what they are told to do today. We want to tell you we are non-violent. This is very, very important. We do not want to do any harm. None of us here. We only want to have peace. Thank you so far much for being here, and thank you all for all the work that you are doing and what you have done in the last years.
Hi, how's everybody doing? Let's do a little chant. No nukes! No nukes! No nukes! No nukes! No nukes!
No nukes!
No nukes!
No nukes!
No nukes!
And
I want to say that, you know, we're very concerned about climate disruption and climate change and climate crisis, but one of these days we could have a nuclear war and we don't have to worry about a climate change anymore, because there'll be nuclear winter and probably almost all of us will die. So I went to Germany last year, and I went to Buchel Air Force Base, and we broke into the base and protested the weapons that are there, and they're called B-61s, and they're made here. And I invited the Germans and the other people there to come, and so they did. And so we will continue to have the exchange back and forth, back and forth. And I'm with the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability. It's a nationwide organization. It's a network of 30 or so groups from around the country that live around nuclear weapons sites and nuclear waste sites. And every year we go to Washington, D.C., and we lobby. And so we try to, you know, work through legal means to restrict them. And this year they tell us that they want to build a brand new nuclear bomb plant in Tennessee to make uranium, the secondaries that make it a thermonuclear bomb. And they want to build more nuclear pits, plutonium pits. The half-life of plutonium is 24,000 years, so it's deadly for a long, long time. And they want to do that in South Carolina. And they found out that the Kansas City plant would be involved in that making new nuclear bomb pits. And those are the primaries. So this is a nuclear bomb plant. They try to get away with saying non-nuclear parts. No, it's heavily involved in nuclear weapons. And so we stand here today, each and every one of us, in opposition to this. And we will tell all our friends and relatives about it and the word will spread, and we will continue to oppose this. And if anybody is with me, I want to propose coming here every Sunday for just a few minutes to protest at, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, every Sunday. Who's willing to come every Sunday? All right. See you next Sunday, 5 o'clock, if I don't have to work at the hospital.
So, dear hearts, I had suggested that if somebody was going to cross the line, that maybe they should let other people do the die-in. And I think, oh, hello, Rain. Will somebody who knows about the microphone tell me, is the microphone going to survive the rain? It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Thank you, Yolanda. If anybody else wants to come and take a slip of paper for doing the die-in, feel free. And Maurice will be our MC for this part of our program. So those who know that they want to do the die-in, we will probably lie down on this sidewalk here because it's pretty muddy up here. So if you could move back a little bit, or some of you who don't mind a little bit of the mud, come on up here.
That was the voice of Peaceworks Casey's Jane Stover. You're listening to an action that took place on Memorial Day outside the gate of the Kansas City weapons plant operated by Honeywell at 150 Highway and Botts Road. Now here's Maurice Copeland.
Okay, everyone, come and get your name that you want. If you're not going to do the die-in, come get your name. Excuse me. Okay, we're going to read the names off.
Okay, Willie Dexter Watkins worked at the Kansas City plant. Was diagnosed with heart failure at age 32. And so those of us doing the die-in are going to come and try to lie down here on the sidewalk. Thank you, dear
sir. Age 32. And remember, these people took a physical before they came here, so he wasn't suffering from any heart problems before he came here. Age 32. Come on up. Come on.
Stephen L. Harvey, who worked for the Marine Corps Finance Center and the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, was diagnosed with cancer at age 41.
41.
Angelino Nastasio, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal and Bendix, was diagnosed with leukemia.
Leukemia.
Dwayne Bauer, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal and Honeywell, was diagnosed with lung cancer at age 58.
I knew these people.
Larry Grau, who worked for the Department of Defense, was diagnosed with having a stroke at age 61.
Dolores Riggs, who worked for the IRS, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at age 41.
Barbara Ann Williams, a worker at IRS, was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 53.
Presente! Annette Orlando, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal, Benedict, and Honeywell, was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 50.
Presente!
Donald Blunt, who worked for the General Services Administration, was diagnosed with brain tumor at age 68.
Presente! Catherine Patton, who worked at the Marine Corps Finance Center and the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, was diagnosed with multiple myeloma at age 49.
Sorry, Catherine.
Multiple myeloma.
Willie Dexter Watkins, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal, was diagnosed with heart failure at the age of 32.
32!
Dion Wright, who worked for the Marine Corps Financing Center and the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, was diagnosed with leukemia at age 44.
Presente!
Troy Bedford, who worked for the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed with lung cancer at age 46.
Presente!
James Eaton, who worked for the Marine Corps Financing Center and the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, was diagnosed with multi-system organ failure, seizures, tremors, and neurologic problems beginning at age 53.
Presente.
Maurice Powell, a worker at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, Allied Signal, and Honeywell, was diagnosed with beryllium sensitivity at age 50.
That was a classmate of mine, Central High School.
Robert Smith, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix and Honeywell, was diagnosed with beryllium disease at age 65.
Presente.
Larry O'Dell worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal and Bendix. He was diagnosed with cancer at age 40.
Presente.
40 years old.
Martin Slyman, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed with COPD, chronic obstruction pulmonary disease, asthma, and atrial fibrillation beginning at age 47.
Presente.
Alan Schloman, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Allied Signal and Bendix, was diagnosed with a brain tumor at age 49.
William Van Compernell, who worked for the General Services Administration, was diagnosed with a brain tumor and seizures beginning at age 42. 42.
Eddie Rubber, who worked for the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed with brain and lung cancer and metastatic melanoma at age 48. Harvard Yancey, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, Allied Signal, and Honeywell, was diagnosed with emphysema, thyroid center, cancer, and chronic beginning at the age 31.
I knew this man very well.
Joey Duncan, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed with bladder and lip cancer at age 49.
Hubert J. Cavanaugh, who worked at the Kansas City plant and Bendix, was diagnosed with asbestos exposure and diabetes at age 65.
James Marion Murriott, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix and Allied Signal, was diagnosed with cancer of the throat and tongue at age 57.
Brenda Bitten worked at the Kansas City plant of Bendix, Allied Signal, and Honeywell, was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 43.
Jeanette Johnson, who worked at the IRS, was diagnosed with colon cancer at age 41.
Lucynthia Farst, who worked for the General Services Administration and the IRS, was diagnosed with sarcoidosis, a chronic disease of nodules in the skin and lungs, at age 26.
26, sarcoidosis. Where can you get that?
Jeanette Brown, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed with a respiratory problem at age 51.
Catherine Tuesley, who worked at the IRS, was diagnosed with brain and cervical cancer beginning at age 51.
Sue Fitch, who worked at the IRS, was diagnosed with skin cancer in her 50s.
Maybe diabolical. And I also want y'all to understand that after the old plant closed, do you know that VA, Veterans Administration, moved into the plant on 95th Street? How cruel can you be? Those people are protesting with me now. Those people are wanting justice. Come on.
Danielle Thompson, who worked for the IRS, was diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer at age 50.
Gladys Mears, who worked for the Marine Corps Financing Center and the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, was diagnosed with fibrosis of the lungs in her 60s and died at age 71.
Waldo Lewis Brandon, who worked at the Kansas City plant for Bendix and Honeywell, was diagnosed with leukemia at age 74.
Alice Gardner, Gardeland, a worker at the Kansas City plant for Bendix, was diagnosed beginning at age 39 with breast and brain cancer.
Understand, people, this is the Cold War. This is the Cold War industry. The Cold War continues. Will the United States ever reveal the casualties of the Cold War? Will they? No, they will not. They will not, because the casualties of the Cold War is you. The people that worked at that plant, those are the casualties of the Cold War. The people that lived around these plants, they're the casualties of the Cold War and their families. Where we took these contaminants home. We took these contaminants home to our children, and they got contaminated. When you hear about your brain cancers of your children, when you hear about the respiratory problems of your children, when you hear about the contamination and the skin problems that your children have, the respiratory problems that your children have, hopefully, someday you'll wake up and say, stop it. Okay. Taps, please. We're going to have... Veterans, Cold War veterans. Everybody talks about first responders. The people that work at these facilities, the nuclear weapons facilities, remember, we were first responders to answer the clarion call to build nuclear weapons so that we in this country could be safe. So that we in this country to be the most powerful warriors on the planet. And now we have bombs planted in other people's countries for us. They're planted in Germany for us to protect us. Germany doesn't want our bombs in their country. No. There has to be some sense and sensibilities come around at some point, people. How many do we need? What are we looking for? We're looking for instant annihilation? Is that what we're looking for? Or are we trying to sell nuclear weapons to everybody? What do we want? Jane?
We are grateful to all who participated in this annual die-in. And as you wish, you may rise. And I would like to call on The people who plan to cross the line, come on up here to the microphone.
We don't know how long. The authorities told us that with the large number of people crossing this year, it might take 2 hours, obviously, to be processed. Obviously, so many have come out this year as a witness for freedom from nuclear weapons. And we have much gratitude in our hearts for that. And now we're going to begin just having short reflections from anybody who wants to speak who's going to cross the line. And after you do your reflection, you can kind of move to the end a little bit, and then we'll walk together to the purple line, and then we'll cross the line. And Debbie is first.
You know, it's sort of interesting. With the rain, it sort of got red. It almost looked like the red blood stains. But what I want to say is today, we are focusing on lost but not forgotten who have died or have become ill from working at the Honeywell plant at 95th and Bannister. The number of the workers we are honoring and mourning is just a portion of the actual number. So many families believe it's a losing battle and have put their family members who have died to rest. As long as I have a voice, I will not allow Honeywell to forget Bob and the others who died or who have at the 95th and Bannister plant. I will not let Honeywell close the book on our families due to their negligence on that property. You can move to a new site, allow others to attempt to clean up your mess at 95th and the blood stains from your hands, but you and I know you will have to answer to your immoral actions, to the deaths and illnesses of innocent human beings during your time on this precious earth.
I'm Spencer Graves. There's an increasing number of people are saying basically the single greatest national security threat facing the United States today and every other nation on the planet is the U.S. nuclear arsenal, followed by the large nuclear arsenals of the other major power nuclear weapon states. It's only a matter of time before we have a nuclear war. The Center for the Study of Existential Risks at the University of Cambridge estimates a 0.6% chance in 1 year, which translates into a 21% chance in the sometime in the next 40 years, and almost a 40% chance by the end of this century. And that would likely lead to a nuclear winter in which 98% of the survivors would starve to death.
I'm Georgia Walker, and I'm here today because in our names, so many lives have been sacrificed. People say, well, we've got nuclear weapons so that we don't have to use nuclear weapons. But as Maurice told us, we've put nuclear weapons, so to speak, in people's bodies. Two of my aunts, who were peacefully working for the IRS, died because of cancers early in life. And I'm just here because we've got to stop this madness.
My name is Jordan, and I'm here today because I believe that the development of nuclear weapons, the constructing of them, and all weapons of war should never be allowed to become a normal part of our lives. That it's just something that exists in our world, and that's the way it is. And so I'm here to say that these nuclear weapons should be abolished, they should be banned, they're immoral, and I think this is the very least of what I can do is to be here today to work towards that. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Joseph. I come here to walk in beauty, and walk in peace, and walk freely. And want to read you something by Pablo Neruda about the quiet. It's called Keeping Quiet. Now we will count to 12, and we will all keep still. For once on the face of the earth, let's not speak in any language. Let's stop for 1 second and not move our arms so much. It would be an exotic moment without rush, without engines. We would all be together in a sudden strangeness. Fishermen in the cold sea would not harm whales, and the man gathering salt would look at his hurt hands. Those who prepare green wars, wars with gas, wars with fire, war victories with no survivors, would put on clean clothes and walk about with their brothers in the shade, doing nothing. What I want should not be confused with total inactivity. Life is what it is about. I want no truck with death. If we were not so single-minded about keeping our lives moving and for once could do nothing, perhaps a huge silence might interrupt this sadness of never understanding ourselves and of threatening ourselves with death. Perhaps the earth can teach us, as when everything seems dead and later proves to be alive. Now, I'll count up to 12, and you keep quiet, and I will go.
This way. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. This is truly the manifestation of the beloved community here before us. My name's Sunny, and I'm here on behalf of all the things that couldn't be here. I'm here to speak for the trees, for the rivers, for the mountains, for the people, for the lives that have already been lost, and for all the things, all of creation that doesn't understand the way that we legitimize this creation, that doesn't understand why you have to go through a court process to prove that it's bad to stop it. Try to explain that to even a child. If you explain what this place is and how it causes harm, well then why don't they stop? And I just want to mention my friends back here. It's great to see you again. I recognize something from last year and years past. I hope, you know, we'll be here next year, and we'll be right here, and you could be right here next year as well. All are welcome all the time in the peace movement. I've got some lovely bread here that my partner Lee baked. It's very delicious. It's made with fresh herbs from our garden. And I would love if you all would like to share some over there. It'll be good stuff. And I also encourage you, we're completely nonviolent and peaceful here. So if you'd like, you could put your weapons into your vehicles, because those really aren't needed today. It's just a general call to disarm. From the Christian faith, we're called to disarm, turn our weapons into stuff for gardening, really. So, but yeah, I genuinely want to invite you all to break bread together. We can hang out. You're all welcome to my house for dinner. We'll make even better food there. And no, we genuinely love you, and we care about you, and that's why we're here today. And we care about your families. And I just hope you can think about that Kansas City Police, you're here to serve and protect, and I appreciate a lot of some of the things you do. But if that place behind us there was about to kill 10 people in our community, I feel like you'd be walking with us the other direction. And that's the reality of what this place is here behind us. So, my name's Sunny Hamrick. Add me on Facebook. Come to hang out. And I'd love to talk to us all more. And, but yeah, sharing life and peace together. So thank you all for joining us here today and listening. Much appreciation.
I'm Jim Hanna. When this plant was being constructed, I came here pretty much every Monday morning for about a year at 8 o'clock. I held up a little sign that says, "Is it good for the grandkids?" And to me, as I come here today, it really has a lot to do with that. And I'm mindful today of my good friend Lou Mountainay. She was planning to cross again one more time. But we had a celebration of her life a few weeks ago. And I know that her spirit, her strong, strong spirit, is still among us. And I think the good spirit which prompted her strong, strong spirit is also among us. And I'm thankful for the members of the family that are here today to commemorate that. I'm going today to walk across the line backwards, because I feel like we need to turn our back on nuclear weapons.
Yo-ho.
I'm Ann Sollentrop, and I am with Physicians for Social Responsibility. And we have worked for decades against nuclear weapons. And I'm also part of the Alliance for Nuclear Accountability. And they have people that are going to meet June 14th in South Carolina, to people just like you and me. And they're going to try to brainstorm together and try to stop these new nuclear bomb pits, the plutonium pits that they want to make. And so I invite you to journey with me to South Carolina, Aiken, South Carolina, for this. We'll speak out for Kansas City. We don't want them. And then next year, it will be the 75th anniversary of the Hiroshima-Nagasaki bombing. And Tennessee, where they make the secondaries, the uranium parts that blow up, they're going to have a huge, I think, 2-3 week long commemoration. And they're going to have art there. They're going to have theater. They're going to have music. And they want the young people to come. So if anybody is interested in that, that's going to be in July of 2020. So come see Ann.
Dears, there are several of us here, partly because Lou Mountaineer has compelled us to be here. She crossed this line 4 times, and on April 8th at our PeaceWorks board meeting, she jotted on a sheet that I had passed around just from a yellow pad, a sheet that said, planning to do civil resistance on Memorial Day. And she, of course, signed, and we knew that she would be signing, and she had said that she would be here at about 11 o'clock this morning. And within 13 days, she died from the cancer that she had. And as a special way, several of us decided to try to cross in her name. And there was a person who crossed with her last year who said, well, was Lou cremated? And we said, yes, we thought that the family, that had been Lou's wish. And so we asked the family, and they agreed that we could be able to have some of Lou's ashes with us as we crossed the line. And so we are much indebted to the whole beautiful Mountaineer family who helped Lou live, who helped Lou die, just as she is helping us live today with all the love in our hearts for the whole world. She was like a world prophet. And so we will have the opportunity, those of us who are crossing the line, if anybody wishes, to take a little packet of her ashes with us. And I'm going to ask Dennis Galley, after I cross the line, I'm going to want to pass my little packet back to you for safekeeping while I'm in custody. And then an hour and a half later, I will be picking it back up.
My name's Daniel Karam, and, you know, this is a struggle for power. I mean, they've got guns, they got money, you know, they got factories, and, you know, they're doing things in factories. They're, you know, making cars and stuff like that, and that's for people who buy them. That's for, like, us, the consumers, the public. But what are they making in this factory? They're making things that, if they ever are used, are going to be the result of millions of people's deaths. And people are making big-time money on that. And, you know, so I just want to say that on our side, we have love. And I believe we have truth. There's a struggle for truth, too. They say that what they say is true, but good luck. In any case, we have love, we have truth, and I'm glad to be on this side. And, you know, there used to be a time when people with guns would escort a little black girl to a school so that she could go to school. Now, that was the proper use of guns, in my estimation. I just wish that things could go back more to that way again. Now, I've read a little something about Lou, and I'd like to share that. It was a response to an email. This is the first I heard about Lou. Something is happening. Some work, and I sense her departure is a part. There was love and care genuine. What's the opposite of weapon? I'm not sure, but I believe Lou was a part of it. How can things be advanced in death as well as life? I'm not sure, but I feel Lou is an example. What is sacrificed will not be wasted, and Lou is a testimony. I feel hit, but will not stop, but be propelled. And Lou is someone to be thankful for. And thanks to you and Jane and Peace Works, you're not kidding, as I've noticed a maturity and seriousness coming about that is both refreshing and awakening. May your and our hopes be realized. Dare I bring God into this? Dare I not? Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled and nourished and satisfied. And so I give thanks.
My name is Lewis. I think I've spent most of my adult life on behalf of those who are left out of the good things of life, even the essential things of life. But our friend Jim Hanna said the nuclear clock is 2 minutes to midnight. Sometimes I think we are generations past midnight in the diabolical injuries we have suffered on millions of people in our country and billions of people around the world who have continued to suffer for lack of resources when they are siphoned off by plants like this one behind us.
At Lou's memorial service, her three granddaughters gave the most wonderful tribute. And so I decided at that time, since she could not pick up the torch she crossed, I wrote for my grandchildren.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tony.
There's a book out that's called A Room Full of Shadows. You see Carney over, Charles Carney over here, and it begins with, sometimes I feel like an ant. You know, when you're coming up against things of destruction, where people are actually destroying things, and they have a mindset for that because they rationalize it somehow. To me, it's opening up your heart and shedding off some of those defenses and opening up to what's more important in life. 50 years, we will be married, and we're having a 50th wedding anniversary here. But we're doing this for our grandchildren.
Amen.
You know, there's a layered future here, if at all we can hold on to letting them be alive and alive to the passion of peace.
Hello, my name is Bennett, and this will be the first time I've crossed the purple line, and I am doing this for Lou. I wanted to, what she said last year, she said, I too am a bothersome weed on the property of death, perhaps a dandelion. Hear me roar.
Hallelujah.
As she crossed the purple line last year. And just so you know, dandelions are also known as lions too. And are also known as a backyard superfood and a nature's multivitamin. And I look at this as a lot of us, we're all dandelions, and we're just trying to bring out peace into the world, into our communities, and getting rid of things like this behind us. And also, the last thing I wanted to mention is when you have people at the federal level and maybe even the local level or the state level, but in particular Senator Roy Blunt, who took 19 who took money from Saudi Arabia in 2017 in his campaign. There's something wrong with that when we take foreign money to keep things like this going. Thank you.
I believe Sunny is going to have a reflection here for us, and I think some of us are going to cross the line. We'll move over close to the
poem. We just wanted to close with this poem as we make our way to the line here. And again, just such gratitude for this greater community, for Lou, for the children, for everybody. And this specifically goes to Bob, our friend who died working at the other plant. And it's called The Us. You know they're scared of the real us coming. When they're shooting tear gas just to get the people running. And it's all while I sit here thumbing through these newspaper pages, reading about CEOs making million-dollar wages while the employees are practically living in cages. And the saddest thing is that it doesn't even faze us. 99's trying to rearrange the us. Corporations fillet us. Puts us on a platter as if we never matter, like throwing the ball directly at the batter, hitting us from mid-class to low-class with no class, just to watch us scatter and splatter, muffling the clatter. And even sadder, it's to our own people. Even the great book says that we're all made equal, but every night on the news it's just a sequel, separations of demonstrations of united people. Now I think it's just the big man getting scared, looking at his people, looking at his people. I got a loud voice. But little do they know, I think it's just the big man getting scared looking at his people, but little do they know that I'm coming with a trequel. Mercy, peace, and justice. Now that's a positive, productive type of lethal. I know I'm not asking for a meager change just to get rid of the weasels deranged, tricked and choked by their colored suits and neckties. Won't hesitate to tell lies while interns organize stacks of paper. Sign your name on the line, never see the man that dies later, or the wife that cries later. Every time a new man comes over, her child had to learn her whole world over. Because the fake us thinks that we can run countries over like a game of Red Rover, but it's not fifth grade, and recess is over. And now later on to the little girl, the bully shoves her, because now she's only got a mother, says, what, did your daddy not love her? When really he died building bombs like Bob for our supposed democratic nation. I think it's time for the us to have an evaluation. Thank you.
We're listening to an action held on Memorial Day outside the Kansas City weapons plant operated by Honeywell. At this point, the activists approach the purple line.
Cut trespassing on the United States Department of Energy. You are not authorized to enter upon this property, and you are requested to leave immediately. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. Everybody understand?
I have a question. You said it's a protective, you're a protective group?
Yes.
Okay. What are you here to protect today?
People and property.
People and property?
I'm gonna go ahead and read this, and then we'll go from there. All right, I'm gonna give you one more warning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a representative of Honeywell FMNT, Kansas City Protective Force. You are trespassing on property of the United States Department of Energy. You are not authorized to enter upon this property, and you are requested to leave immediately. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. Understand?
Yes. Okay. City property.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Sergeant Craig Hope. I'm from Kansas, Missouri Police Department. Thank you. We appreciate any of your cooperation. Basically, you are under arrest. Every one of you here has crossed this line. You're on trespassing on the property. But that requires us to process you in accordance with our policies and procedures, which requires you to be handcuffed and searched. So if you don't mind at this time, I'll ask you all to just turn around and place your hands behind your back, and we'll take really good care of you. We'll do this as simply, easy as possible. Okay? Just turn around, place your hands behind your back, please. Thank you.
You've been listening to an action organized by Peaceworks KC on Memorial Day at the National Security Campus, operated by Honeywell at 14510 Botts Road, Kansas City, Missouri. In addition to a die-in, there were 17 activists who were arrested in an act of civil disobedience for allegedly crossing the property line. These activists were Christine Donowski from Germany, Bennett Dibben, Ron and Tony Faust, Spencer Graves, Jordan Sonny Hamrick, James Hanna, Daniel Karam, Deborah Peniston, widow of former 20 years worker at the old weapons plant, Brother Louis Rodeman, Jordan Sheely, Joseph One, Jane Stover, Ann Sullentrop, Susanna Vanderheiden, Georgia Walker, and Lee Woody. They are expecting a court date of August 7th in Courtroom C, Kansas City, Missouri Municipal Court. To find out more about Peaceworks KC, visit peaceworkskc.org.